2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. Let us hear God's word. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and Heavenly Father, how good you have been to us. Even this day you have provided with the manna of the earth, the bread of the earth. You have fed us, and you have done so in abundance. But Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you now and ask that you would feed us with the manna of heaven, that you would feed us with your word, all to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Suppose you were to take a cactus, a plant that lives out in the desert and a warm climate and very little rain. Suppose you were to take that cactus and plant it in the rainforest. What do you suppose would happen? Or just the opposite, suppose you were to take a plant from the rainforest, where there is an abundance of rain, and plant it in the desert, where there's very little rain. What do you suppose would happen to both of those plants? Well, we know that both, they will die. Both will die because they're not in their right natural habitat that each plant needs to survive. One needs just a little rainfall. The other needs quite a bit. One needs a lot of sunshine. The other needs just a little bit. But what would happen if we take the plant from the desert and the plant from the rainforest and we put them in a greenhouse and give to each individual plant that which they need? To one, we give a little bit of water. To the other, we give quite a bit. To one, we give a whole lot of sunshine. To the other, we give just a little bit. What do you suppose would happen? Well, we know both plants will survive because the soil has been made good for them to thrive. Both plants will survive because the soil is good. The environment is controlled. It is suitable for growth. And we can see to it that each plant gets the exact amount of rain, sunshine, and nutrients that it needs. Now, the scriptures describe the word of God as similar to a seed of a plant. The scriptures describe the human heart as compared to soil, different kinds of soil, different kinds of ground. In Luke 8, the parable says that the sower went forth to sow a seed. And the meaning of the parable is that God sent out his preachers, his teachers, his missionaries to preach and teach God's word. Some of God's word fell upon different types of soil, different types of ground, meaning the human heart. Some fell on bad soil. Some fell upon stony ground, and it did not receive the word of God. Some fell on thorny ground. It did not receive the word of God. But some of God's words fell upon good ground, good soil, and it produced a crop 30-fold, 60-fold, and in some cases even 100-fold. But what makes the human heart good soil? Well, by nature, the human heart is bad soil. It's a sinful heart. And therefore, the preaching of the word or the reading of God's word, when the individual hears it, it withers and dies. Like the cactus that is put in the rainforest or the plant that's put in the desert, they die because the soil is not adequate. So the heart of man is not suitable to nurture and receive the seed of God's word. The heart of man cannot, and listen to me now, the heart of man cannot naturally love God. Your heart cannot naturally love God. How then can there be an abundance of fruit produced? Well, the soil must be made good. If the human heart is spiritually fertilized and made ready to receive the word of God, like a greenhouse controls the amount of water and the nutrients, then the word of God brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, even 100-fold. In other words, you cannot naturally love God. You cannot naturally receive God's word. But you can supernaturally love God. And you can supernaturally receive God's word. In our passage this morning, Paul directs the Thessalonians, as well as us, to be in love with God as the most excellent being overall. Like Christ, he exhorts us to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. But he prefaces this prayer with the source of love to God. He says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. Notice he doesn't say, you need to direct your heart to God's love. No, he didn't say that. He prays that God would direct his love to your hearts. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love. The Apostle Paul knows that the human heart is like a plant in an unnatural soil. Unless the soil is made right and well watered by the gardener, then the seed that is planted is not going to flourish. The source of love to God is God himself. The scriptures say, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. We love because he first loved us. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion. Christ is the author and the perfecter of your faith. You have been saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You cannot naturally receive God's word, but you can supernaturally receive it. You cannot naturally love God, but God can pour out his love into your hearts so that you would receive his love. You have been saved by grace, and grace alone. Think about a sailboat. Sailboat has no power within itself to move from here to there. He's totally dependent upon the wind. But when the wind acts upon it, we're off and going. Your heart is spiritually dead. When you hear the gospel, you hate the gospel. You would never turn to Christ on your own. But because He first loves us, because He is the source of love, because He makes the human heart good soil to receive God's Word, the Holy Spirit being empowered by the Father and the Son, make your heart good ground, and you receive the seed of the Word of God. And you believe it. And you begin to love it. And the Holy Spirit begins to produce in you some 30, some 60, some 100-fold good works. As one would pour water into a cup, God has poured out His love upon you in order that you would love Him. Our love to God is nothing but an echo of God's love for us. The word that Paul uses here that we translate into the English as direct sometimes means in Greek to conduct or to give guidance, as if we might guide men that they may not go in the wrong way. But at other times, and that's the way Paul uses it here, the Greek means to bend or incline or to make straight that which is crooked or distorted. It's talking about your heart. Your heart is bent. It's inclined to sin. It's crooked. It's distorted. But God has set His love upon you to make straight that which was bent and crooked. Jesus says, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me. I will draw them to me." It's interesting that the words Jesus uses there are words that are used for like when one draws water from the well. Have you ever drawn water from a well? What do? You don't stand there and go, "Come on, water, water, water. Come on up." No. What do? You send the bucket down. It fills up with water. And then by strength, you pull it up. That's what Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit does to you. That He pulls you to bring you into the kingdom of God, to give you the faith of Christ, to give you a new heart that you may love Christ. By nature, we are bad soil that is along the pathway, the rocky soil, the soil that is covered in thorns and briars. Though we may hear the Word of God, and in some cases even immediately receive it, yet we don't persevere in it. That's why Paul tells the Thessalonians, he's praying that God would direct your love to Him and to the perseverance of Christ. That you believe, but that you keep on believing, and that you grow in knowledge and in grace of Jesus Christ. So even though we are sinners, God has shed His love upon us. He has poured out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. The love we have for Christ is not a natural flower found in the garden of our heart, but it is a foreign plant, a blooming flower from the rainforest that's brought into the desert, yet it is planted in good soil so that it may bloom. See, the preacher may call you to love God. Your mother and father may instruct you how to love God. But only Christ can give you the power to love God. And what God requires of you, God gives to you. He doesn't expect a dead, sinful heart to love him back. So he makes you alive in Christ. And he opens your eyes to the wonderful grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you hear it, you receive it, and you say, yes, I am a sinner, and yes, I am in need of the righteousness of God. And you're brought into the kingdom of God. Listen to what Moses writes from Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with all of your soul. The prophet Ezekiel says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and I will move you. I will empower you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is reporting what he sees, and he says that it is in Christ that we move and live and have our being. This means that not only do we find our daily sustenance, our food and our water, our air, whatever else is needed to sustain basic life in Christ, not only does Christ provide that for us, he also provides that for the non-believer. But that even more so, Christ provides the Holy Spirit in order that we would be united to the resurrected, glorified Christ, and that we would feed off of him. That his faith becomes our faith. That his faithfulness becomes our faithfulness. That his perseverance is then going to be practically worked out in our life where we will persevere in the faith. I saw a National Geographic episode one time on TV, and it was about a certain bird. And this bird would go to the nest of another kind of bird and steal an egg and put it in this nest and then sit on that. But when the chick was hatched, the chick would hear the true mother calling. And so the chick would leave the nest where he was born and go back to his original and true mother. Well, you love the world. Your heart is set on the things of the world. You're in this nest right here. But when God opens your heart, when he gives you ears to hear and eyes to see, when the shepherd calls your name, you as the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. So you leave the things of the world, the false things, and you repent and you come to the true things. Because the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And how and why do the sheep hear the shepherd's voice? Because the shepherd has already made you good ground in order that you would hear and understand. Oh, friends, this is love unbounded. The grace of God has been poured out upon you. What would you think if the people out here in the cemetery suddenly got up and walked around? What would you think? You would think that that would be a mighty act of God. Your hearts are dead in sin. Why is it that you have come to Christ? Why is it that you're in the kingdom of God? It is because the love of God has been poured out to you. Been poured out to you. Once you were under the power of the devil, once you did all of his bidding, once you were spiritually dead, but God, who is rich in mercy and in grace, has made you alive in Christ Jesus. And you heard the gospel, and you received it, and you became a Christian. I've labored the point here, but the basic lesson is, because of the grace of God, what God requires of you, God has given to you. He requires faith in Christ in order to be saved. He's given that to you. The faith that you have to believe in Christ is not your own. It does not originate within you. It originates within the human nature of Jesus Christ. And then through the Holy Spirit, it is given to you. It is worked in you. Oh, the love of God. The grace of God to you. Why is it you believe and someone in your family or the next door neighbor doesn't believe? It is because God has set His love upon you. He has loved you from the foundations of the earth. He has loved you even before you were born. In the holy mind of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they marked you out even before the first day of creation. They decided to set their love upon you. And in the course of time, you were born, and in the course of time, you were born again. But this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Listen to what the psalmist says. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. Because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. My soul clings to you. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. These are the words of King David. King David had all this military power. He had all this financial power. He was king. Anything he wanted, he got. But he says, what he truly desires is to set his love upon Jesus Christ, to be in the presence of God, to worship Him, to glorify Him. That was David's passion. He wanted to experience God's love, and God wants to experience your love to Him. Oh, my friends, do you realize what God has done for you? Do you realize what he has done for you? He became a man and he suffered and died for you. Because he loves you. And he knows what's best for you, and he wants you to love him back. Oh, my friends, I would say let us endeavor to increase our love to Jesus Christ. Do not be satisfied with where you are today, but instead, strive to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Seek to know your Lord and Savior. Ask of Him, and He will provide all that He requires of you. He will provide. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have poured out upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, heavenly Father, we pray that we would have more love to thee. We pray, heavenly Father, for a greater awareness of your love to us, that it would humble our hearts, and that we would strive to love you with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service.